This is Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Nathan Sterner. Baltimore City Health Commissioner Lena Wen recently said that Baltimore is a city that is, quote, overwhelmed with the population of animals. Perhaps no one in Baltimore knows this better than Jennifer Brouse, the executive director of the Baltimore Animal Rescue and Care Shelter, or BARCS. Brouse, her 57 employees, and 400-plus volunteers take in about 12,000 animals every year. And if that number isn't startling enough, this year, BARCS has neutered nearly 1,700 feral cats and returned them to where they were picked up as part of a trap-neuter release program. In the first 10 days of this month alone, BARCS has taken in more than 100 cats, cats that are now available for adoption. Jennifer Brouse is here to tell us more. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So cats generally breed between March and September, so I guess we're kind of approaching the end of cat breeding season, or are we just in the middle?
You know, it is kind of approaching the end when you look at what it should be, but really in Maryland, because it's been so warm, we have breeding season all year long. We've been kind of thankful for the last two winters because that's helped, but we see kittens throughout the year.
Have you been seeing an uptick in recent months?
Yes, actually we have. August was pretty high in the number of kittens we had coming into the shelter. But overall, compared to the last couple of years, due to our new TNR program, we've seen a lot less kittens.
And possibly the cold winters that have helped stop a little bit of breeding.
Absolutely.
About how many cats are you capable of sheltering at BARCS at any one time?
We have about 150 cages, and if they come in with a litter, we'll put them together. So we can house probably close to 200 cats at any given time.
But of course, you can't take in every cat that comes in. What are the reasons that you might have to turn some cats away?
Well, we are an open emission shelter, which means we do accept every animal that's brought to
But they can't all go up for adoption.
They can't all go up for adoption, absolutely. So when people bring an animal to us, there's a couple of things. First of all, if they're surrendering their pet, we first see what we can do to might be able to help them to keep their pet. And then if there's no option for them to keep it, we will take that animal in and do our best to put it up for adoption, depending on what the issues are or what our space is like at the shelter. And then if an animal comes in as a stray cat, we will talk to that person and ask them, first of all, could they help post for it being a lost cat somewhere in the area that they found it? We are asked if they're interested in keeping it to help us with space, or we see if it's a candidate for our TNR program.
And I assume you have some foster programs as well.
We do. We have about 400 animals at any given time in foster homes. In the spring and summer, it can get up to 800 with the number of cats that we see. So we also will try to get as many out into foster homes as possible.
We've mentioned pet cats and feral cats. It's not like there's any genetic difference between the two. But if kittens are born to feral cats and they're not socialized or introduced to humans early enough, they're probably not ever going to be a real indoor pet cat, are they?
They probably aren't. It depends on how early you can catch them, because you can help a cat to become more, even an adult cat, to become more acclimated to people. We don't always know their history, so they might seem feral at first, but after they're around people for a while, they can become acclimated. So we have a lot of caregivers out that their outdoor cats will come over to them because they're comfortable with that person, but maybe not anybody else. And so for kittens, it just all depends on when you catch them and then also on their individual personality.
And even domestic cats don't necessarily like people.
Other
than the people they know. I mentioned one of the things that you've been doing to try to cut down Baltimore's feral cat populations, the Trap Neuter Release Program. When did that start here in Baltimore?
We started it at BARCS at the high volume that we're doing now in 2013, but there have been other groups and individuals who've been doing it for decades.
How does it work?
So basically, for us, when we get a complaint or when animal control will get a complaint, they'll notify us if there's a lot of outdoor cats in an area, or if people who are just need additional help that they have a lot of cats, they'll notify us. And so we have a team of two people who go out and trap in those areas. They bring the cats into BARCS. And then from there, we either do spay and neuter at our facility or we send them to one of our rescue vet partners to do spay and neuter. And then we also vaccinate the animals with both rabies and distemper. We do flea treatment and anything else that they might need. And as long as they're in healthy condition, then they get returned to where they were originally found.
And why is that important?
It's important. Which part? It's all important.
It's all important. But yeah. Returning them. I mean, some places people try to take the cats off the street. But the TNR program is specifically designed to return as many cats to where they came from as possible.
Absolutely. So there's many benefits to it. First of all, these animals are being cared for by someone out in the community. So they're their pets. They consider them their pets or animals that they've fallen in love with. They're feeding them and caring for them, which is why they're thriving where they are located outside. We don't return animals that aren't in good condition, that don't have a caregiver, that aren't thriving. And we're not putting any new animals out there. These are animals that have already been living out there. So the benefit to us directly and to shelters across the nation that do this program is there's less animals coming into the shelter. So that's saving taxpayer money. It's saving the shelter from having to kill animals because we're inundated with cats. It's what we take in the most.
And you've been doing a lot to lower your euthanization rates.
We have. We started all kinds of programs over the past 10 years to work on lowering euthanasia rates. And this is another one that we've seen tremendous results from.
Do you have any idea of how many cats have gone through TNR programs since you started it?
For our specific program, we've spayed and neutered over 7,000 animals in the 2 years that we've been running the program. And every year, our goal is at least 3,500. So we're right on mark.
What does that translate to? Any idea of how many kittens aren't born because of this program?
Thousands and thousands.
Because how many times do cats breed a year?
They can get pregnant at early as 4 months of age, and their pregnancy or gestation is about 2 months, and they go into heat every 2 to 3 weeks, so they can breed quite a bit. And spring through the fall is when typical breeding season is, so they can have multiple litters in that time, and an average litter is about 5 kittens. So if you think of that number, and we've altered over 7,000 animals, that's quite a few less kittens that are born into our community.
What are the benefits of keeping the cat population down in Baltimore, the outdoor cat population? I know in Australia they're trying to cull the cat population, but then there was never anything like a cat in the Australian ecosystem until they were introduced, and they've caused extinction of creatures there. Not as bad in Baltimore, but of course you still want to keep those populations low.
Yeah, absolutely, because when the population can become so out of hand, and it has. I mean, there are a lot of people who are spending all the money they have and trying to find resources they have to care for these cats because their colonies are just getting larger and larger. So we're helping community members to be able to control the situation that they have been very compassionate about trying to control themselves without resources. So we're helping people to take care of their colonies in a much healthier way. And the population could get out of hand because of how much they can have litters and how often that they can breed. And so we want to help curtail that population. In addition, we're also vaccinating with rabies. So we're helping to at least get a barrier of rabies protection out there.
If someone wants a cat from Barks, not a feral one, obviously, one who would be a good pet, what do they have to do?
So if they want to adopt a cat, they can come down to the shelter. We're at 301 Stockholm Street. So they can come down and look at the 150 that we have down there. And then also they can go on our website and look at the various cats we have there, because we have, like I said, hundreds out in foster homes. And then we also have a few, we have partnerships with a couple local pet stores to where we have some cats up for adoption in their stores as well.
Jennifer Browse, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jennifer Browse is the executive director of the Baltimore Animal Rescue and Care Shelter, or BARCS. More about everything BARCS does is available online, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Nathan Sterner.
Maryland Morning is an original production
of your public radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Johnna McCone
and Connor Graham.
We have production help from
Christy Forrest
and Scott Seiss.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
Coffee for our guests provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. On the web at ZEKESCoffee.com.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. On this day in Maryland history, 1776, the 9th Maryland Convention met in Annapolis. By October, the 76 delegates had hammered out a Declaration of Rights and a state constitution, much of which is still reflected in today's state constitution. Enjoy your weekend. Be back with us Monday.